and River Bandits Baseball. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Sunday afternoon, everybody, and for the final time this week, welcome back to LMCU Ballpark and River Bandits Baseball as Quad Cities finishes up its six-game set against the High A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers, the West Michigan Whitecaps, with a little Sunday afternoon matinee. Quad Cities riding three straight wins after a sweep of a doubleheader yesterday. They won opening weekend, 2 out of 3 against the South Bend Cubs in Davenport, and now they're looking for their first six-game series win of the season against an Eastern Division foe who they have not seen since 2019. Hi again, everybody. Kyle Kirchva with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from this afternoon, we're so glad to have you along with us for this series finale. It is a beautiful day here in Grand Rapids, something we definitely deserved after Mother Nature was playing tricks with us all week, Tuesday through Saturday. But sun is out, the skies are blue, and it should be a tremendous afternoon for baseball. As we do every Sunday afternoon, we're going to start the River Bandits pregame show with this week's edition of the Royals Minor League Report. We've got updates from Single-A Columbia, Double-A Northwest Arkansas, and Triple-A Omaha to keep you in the know with all things Royals Farm. So, without further ado, I send it over to Papillion, Nebraska, and the voice of the Omaha Storm Chasers, Nicholas Batters.
There's a lot to be excited about right now with the Omaha Storm Chasers, who have taken 4-5 this week from the Gwinnett Stripers after winning just 2 of 11 games last season against Atlanta's AAA affiliate. A pair of wins ended last week's series at Columbus, and 3 straight opened up this week's home set against Gwinnett. That amounted to a 5-game winning streak that vaulted the Chasers into sole possession of first place in the 20-team International League. And while Omaha's not alone at the top anymore, they still are right in the thick of things heading into Sunday's action. It's safe to say the offense has stolen the show against the Stripers, with a league-best 54 runs scored through the first 5 games of this week, and the team hitting at a 1092 OPS. 8 different players have homered, while 9 have driven in at least 3 runs. Catcher Logan Porter stands out, though, with a 7-for-12 effort at the plate. His 20 total bases lead the league this week. He has 6 extra base hits, including homers, in his last 3 games. And Drew Waters has driven in 9 runs this week, with 7 coming in an 18-9 win over his former club on Thursday.
1-1 home to Waters.
Rocketed to right field, hit pretty well. Bolt back on the warning track. Sola! It's a grand slam for Drew Waters. He goes the other way, and the Storm Chasers have blown it open. 14-6 here in the bottom of the 7th inning. Jonathan Boland struck out an Omaha season-high 10 in the series opener Tuesday, and he heads back to the mound for the Storm Chasers Sunday with a 2:05 Central start at Warner Park. In Papillion, Nebraska, for the Omaha Storm Chasers, I'm Nick Batters.
With 8 games in the books for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, it's certainly been a roller coaster ride, to say the least. They got swept in the 3 games back at Arvis Ballpark last week. This week, they've already secured a series split, winning games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, including a 2-0 shutout win back on Thursday. Last night, however, a bit of a different story. Some errors, balks, and a wild pitch played an important part in that game. But early on in the third inning, despite being down, the Naturals battled back. Peyton Wilson and Gavin Cross with some big knocks in the third. 1-2. Ripped to right field, and a fair ball rolling all the way out to the corner. Town around second, headed for home. He scores. Wilson to second. Now he loses his helmet going to third. Throw comes back to the infield, but Peyton Wilson is in safely with a feet-first slide and an RBI triple. Gavin sends a soft fly ball to left field. Hall is tracking it. He can't get there. It's behind him and all the way to the wall. Wilson can trot home. Cross is headed to second. He loses his helmet, but he's in standing up with an RBI double, and the Naturals take the lead. It's 2-1. They finish up today at 1:05 Central Time in San Antonio, and then we head back to Northwest Arkansas for 6 against the Midland Rockhounds. At Nelson Wolf Stadium in San Antonio, Texas, I'm Sean Mernon with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals.
After a pair of frustrating losses to start the week, the Quad Cities River Bandits have won 3 straight over the West Michigan Whitecaps and are a victory away from their second straight series win. Over the past 4 games, the Arms have put together a masterclass in pitching, allowing just 5 earned runs over 32 innings while holding the Caps to a league-low 142 batting average. While every game has featured brilliance on the mound, the pinnacle moment of the week came Thursday when the Bandits took a no-hitter into the 9th inning, and it was a Kansas City kid who got it all started. 0-2 pitch. Got him swinging strike 3. Up the ladder with a fastball, and Benny Digits is pumped. The former second round pick is retired 16 straight. He's got 6 shutout, hitless innings with 7 Ks. Speaking of Kansas City kids, Carter Jensen has gotten red hot at the plate, reaching base in 10 out of his last 13 plate appearances, picking up his first home run of the year on Thursday, and posting a 1295 OPS throughout the series. Next week, Quad Cities returns to Davenport for its first 6-game homestand of the season and welcomes in the Peoria Chiefs on Tuesday. With the Quad Cities River Bandits, I'm Kyle Kercheval.
The Fireflies have started the 2024 home slate on a high note as they've taken 4 of the first 5 games against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans at Segra Park. Runs, runs, and more runs have been the story of the week. Clubby has scored more than 9 runs in 3 consecutive games and have outscored the Pelicans 37-15 since Wednesday night. There have been a few key players on the run. Austin Charles had back-to-back games with a career-high 4 RBI and went 7-for-9 on a stretch after starting the season 0-for-15. Heading into today's slate of games, Charles is hitting .286. If that weren't enough, Royals top prospect Blake Mitchell matched his first homer in the Neon and Navy last night.
Mitchell swinging a drive, deep right field. This ball is way out of here. Adios, pelota! A bomb off the bat of Blake Mitchell. The Fireflies extend their lead even further.
The pitching has been great, too. Saturday, Hunter Patterson and Felix Aronde combined for the club's first shutout of the year, and the team's 3.33 ERA is the 6th best in the Carolina League. The club travels to Charleston next for a set with the River Dogs. From Columbia, I'm John Kosis.
With that, we welcome you back inside the broadcast booth here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and LMCU Ballpark, home of the West Michigan Whitecaps, and Game 6 of this 6-game set between them and the River Bandits. Quad Cities looking for its 4th straight victory and its first 6-game series win of the season. Let's go ahead and jump into the starting lineups for this series finale. We'll recap the doubleheader a little bit later on in the pregame show if we have time, but let's just go ahead and get you the lineup cards, which of course are the most important thing for today's game. Let's begin with the West Michigan Whitecaps, their lineup put together by manager Tony Cappuccelli. Leading off, it's the center fielder Seth Stevenson. Carlos Mendoza bats second and plays left field, and batting third at second base, Max Anderson. Luke Gold is the cleanup batter. He'll play first base. Roberto Campos bats fifth and plays right field, and batting sixth, it's the designated hitter Isaac Pacheco. Danny Ceretti, the switch hitter, bats 7th and will man 3rd base in the finale. Peyton Graham is back at short, batting 8th and batting 9th, doing the catching for the 3rd time this week. It is Josh Crouch. On the mound for the Whitecaps, it's the 24-year-old right-hander from Libertyville, Illinois, Colin Fields, ready to make his second start, his third appearance of the year, and his second start of this series. Fields got the ball for the Whitecaps in game one of the set on Tuesday, and he was very, very good. He took a no decision, but went four innings, gave up just one run on a homer, three hits, no walks, and eight strikeouts. Fields is off to a really good start here in 2024. In his two appearances, he's given up just one run in five innings and owns 10 strikeouts. Now the starting lineup for the Quad Cities River Bandits, as put together by manager Brooks Conrad, who is now in his third season at the helm in Davenport. It's a big mix-up, or a big shake-up, I should say, of the lineup card, as is very often the case in these Sunday series finales. Leading off, giving Carson Rockeford his first break of the year, it's today's center fielder Spencer Nivens. Justin Johnson will move up to the two spot and play second base, and Carter Jensen will slide down to the three hole and be the DH. Trevor Werner will make his professional debut at first base and bat cleanup. Jared Dickey bats fifth and plays right field and batting sixth. It's the catcher Omar Hernandez who caught one of the games in the doubleheader yesterday. Dustin Dickerson bats seventh. He's at short. Gene Ramirez will play left field, batting eighth. And batting ninth, making his debut in the infield, it's the third baseman, Davis Nadal. On the mound for the Quad Cities River Bandits, it's the Royals' number four prospect and a man entering his second season with QC. It's the 20-year-old left-hander from Hartford, Connecticut, Frank Mazzucano, who makes his season debut this afternoon. Mazzucano not originally scheduled to start today. It was supposed to be Tuesday starter Shane Panzini, but a last-minute swap with Mazzucano making his way up to Grand Rapids in time puts him on the mound for this series finale. Mazzucano spent time in both high A and single A last season, and he was tremendous for the Fireflies, a 3.04 ERA in just over 56 innings with 13.6 strikeouts per nine innings, one of the best marks in the Carolina League last year. He got called up to Quad Cities in the middle of the year in late June and really struggled. He posted a 7.12 ERA in 36 and two-thirds innings, but he did show a lot of promise across his four August starts for the River Bandits, where he gave up just six earned runs in 18 and a third innings for a 2.95 ERA. So Mazzucano, right as he was starting to settle in, just ran into the end of the season, and he'll look to pick up where he left off in 2023. Just about time for today's national anthem here at LMCU Ballpark. We're less than 5 minutes away from first pitch as Quad Cities looks for its sixth and league-leading win of the year. And, of course, looking for that win here in the six-game series. River Bandits baseball is coming your way in just a moment. First pitch up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Bandits baseball is back on the air for the final time in the regular season at LMCU Ballpark here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as Quad Cities looks for its first six-game series win of the year, riding three straight wins, including a sweep of yesterday's doubleheader. Once again, good afternoon, everybody. Kyle Kirchhoff with you on a beautiful Sunday afternoon here at Comstock Park. First pitch temperature today is going to clock in right at 73 degrees, which is quite a breath of fresh air, both literally and figuratively. The winds today, 10 miles per hour, gusts up to 18. That is perfectly manageable. It's going to be a tremendous afternoon for baseball. Colin Fields is completing his warm-up tosses for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Fields, the 24-year-old righty out of Valparaiso, an undrafted free agent signed by the Tigers 2 years ago. He's making his second start of the season and his second start of the series. We saw Fields on Tuesday just dominate en route to a Whitecaps victory. He gave up just one run in four innings with eight strikeouts. The only run he gave up was that solo homer to Jared Dickey, which was the River Bandits' first of the year. Carson Rockefeller would hit a two-run go-ahead shot later on in the ball game, but the Bandits could not hold on to their advantage, and they would lose their first of two games to start the week in West Michigan. But after that, Quad Cities figured things out, to say the very least. On Wednesday, they put together an 8-1 victory and took a no-hitter into the ninth inning, fueled by the tremendous start from Ben Kuderna. And then yesterday, Quad Cities won its first doubleheader of the year and their first doubleheader since April of last season. Quad Cities won 2-1 in game one and then got their second shutout victory of the season with a 2-0 win in game two. Obviously, pitching has been a big key to the Bandits' success in this series, but they'll be up first here in the first and try to jump on Colin Fields. Nivens, Johnson, Jensen, the first three due up for the Bandits today. Alex Shears is the home plate umpire. Ian Durkin monitoring the base paths. Fields ready to go out of the wide. The right-hander's first pitch comes home, and Nivens takes it for a called strike. We are underway at 2:02 Eastern time here in Comstock Park. Infield shifted towards right, playing Nivens to pull the ball. 0-1, fastball just outside. It is 1-1. The two main pitches for Fields are his low 90s fastball, which really acts more like a cutter, and his curveball, which create quite a lethal duo. 1-1 pitch. There's the curve. It drops into the top of the zone for strike two. Nivens this series only hitting 182, but his on-base percentage is 375, helped out by four walks in four games. 1-2 pitch to him. Skips in the dirt off the catcher crouch. Two balls, two strikes. Defensively for the Whitecaps, left to right in the outfield, Mendoza, Stevenson, Campos. Rams at short, Anderson's at second base. Ceretti at third, Gold at first. The aforementioned Crouch behind the plate. 2-2 count on Nivens. Fields has a new baseball. He begins his motion, fires, and it's outside for ball three. So a nice start to the game, or to the at-bat, I should say, for Nivens. He's made Fields throw a lot of early pitches. And now we'll try to win the full count battle. Payoff pitch on its way. Cutter just inside. It's ball four. Fifth walk of the series for Nivens. And boy, walks have been a huge story in this series for Whitecaps pitching. The Bandits have not hit all that well over this three-game hit streak. You look at the doubleheader yesterday. In 15 innings, they scored just four runs on eight hits. They only had one extra base hit in the doubleheader as a whole. Man at first for Justin Johnson, who pops one up on the right side in foul ground. Gold gives it a look, but it lands on the corner of the berm for strike one. Johnson played in both games the doubleheader yesterday and had one of two extra base hits, I beg your pardon, two extra base hits for Quad Cities yesterday. His a leadoff double in the third inning, which gave Quad Cities their first lead of game one. Fields out of the stretch, pitching along the first base side of the rubber. A slide step delivery and a fastball for a called strike. Nivens takes off to second base, and he's thrown out by Crouch. A delayed steal attempt from Spencer Nivens, and he's nabbed stealing for the first time this season. We've talked a lot about the River Bandits' aggressiveness on the base paths this season. It's honestly become one of the hallmarks of their offense so far, but it's been high risk, high reward. 0-2 to Johnson, broken bat, flopper into right field for a base hit. Justin Johnson sends one the other way. Splintered the stick a touch, but he winds up with the Bandits' first hit of the game. And now that caught stealing stings a little bit more. But just to give you a few more details on the stolen base situation, Quad Cities leads the Midwest League with 20 stolen bases, but they've also been caught a league high 7 times through not even 9 games. Carter Jensen in the box now. He'll take low and outside for ball one. While Quad Cities as a whole has been struggling at the plate this week, Jensen most certainly has not. He enters this plate appearance having reached in 10 of his last 13. 1-0. In the dirt, blocked by Crouch, JJ stays put at first base. This series, Jensen hit his first home run. He leads the team in ribbies, and his 1295 OPS ranks third in the Midwest League. He's got his average up to 323 on the season with a slugging of 548. 2-0. Good cut from Jensen, but he fouls it into the screen. 2 balls, 1 strike. Just underway here at LMCU Ballpark. Sunny skies, a nice big crowd on hand for this series finale. Bandits in the road grays as they've been all week. The white caps back in the home whites to round out the series. Fields pauses at the belt, a long look in. 6 seconds on the pitch clock, he delivers home, and Jensen fouls one off the back screen. It's 2 balls, 2 strikes. Jensen did the catching in game one of the doubleheader, then was the DH in game two, and he will resume that role in the finale for Quad Cities, allowing Omar Hernandez to do the work behind the plate. Another 2-2. Called strike three, fastball on the inner half, and Jensen's down on strikes for the second out here in the top of the first inning. The strikeout has been mighty friendly to Colin Fields to start the year. That's now 11 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings pitched. It'll bring up Trevor Werner, making his professional debut at first base today, back in the cleanup spot of the order. Right on right, the pitch. Off for second goes JJ. The pitch is a ball. The throw to second is in time. Josh Crouch throws out his second would-be base stealer of the inning. And that ends the frame with Quad Cities having 2 base runners, but Colin Fields facing the minimum in a scoreless frame. So a little good, a little bad for the Bandits in the opening inning. To the bottom of the first we go. Frank Mazzucato set to make his 2024 debut when we return.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Runners for the Bandits in the first inning, but both of them are caught stealing second by Josh Crouch, And Frank Mazzucato will make his season debut in a scoreless ball game. Seth Stevenson, Carlos Mendoza, Max Anderson, the first three due up to greet the former first-round pick back in 2021. Lengthy lefty stands at 6'3", 175 pounds. Seth Stevenson shows bunt at the first pitch. He'll take low and inside for ball one. Mazzucato once again wearing number 30 for the River Bandits, just 20 years old. He fires in a fastball, and Stevenson pops it up in the home plate area. Hernandez shields his eyes from the sun, tosses the mask aside, and makes the catch behind home plate. Out number one for the Bandits and Frank Mazzucato. That's a really good start for the former seventh overall pick. Frank, as I mentioned in the pregame show, was phenomenal in the Carolina League with Columbia last season. Made 12 starts and posted a 3.08 ERA, but still trying to find his footing here in the Midwest League. Base is clear, one out for Carlos Mendoza. He'll take a changeup for strike one. A four-pitch mix for Frankie. Fastball, curveball, changeup, the primary three. But then he added a slider towards the end of last year, so we'll see how he plays that one today. 0-1, skips in the dirt, one ball, one strike. It's pretty easy to tell the difference between his curveball and a slider because the curve is your traditional 12-6, very vertical pitch, while the slider, of course, more horizontal. 1-1, there's a fastball on the ground to second base. Easy play for Justin Johnson, and he throws over to Werner for out number two. Here's the rest of the River Bandits defense. Left to right in the grass, it goes Ramirez, Nivens, and Dickey. Dickerson's at short, the aforementioned Johnson at second base. Nadal at third, Werner at first, and Omar Hernandez behind the plate doing the catching for Quad Cities for the fourth time on the young season. Here's Max Anderson, first pitch to him. The changeup, low for ball one. Scoreless game in the bottom of the first inning. Mazzucato with a couple of quick outs to start his season debut. 1-0. Another changeup. That one also out of the zone. Two balls, no strikes. That one missed inside. Anderson back at second base and back in the three hole where he has spent most of this series. 2-0. Swing and a miss. Anderson chased way high. Two balls, one strike. A gifted strike for Mazzucato. Anderson did not play in game one of the doubleheader, but in game two went 1-for-3 with a walk and a single. He takes inside, three balls, one strike. Whitecaps only reached base five times in game two of the doubleheader, and Anderson had two of those. 3-1 offering. Inside, it skips off Hernandez, and it's a two-out walk. Well, the free pass is going to be the main thing to focus on when analyzing Mazzucato's season, in my opinion. Frank really struggled with the walk last year for Quad Cities. Allowed 33 in 36 and two-third innings last year. In only one game did he allow one walk or less for Quad Cities. Inning extended now for Luke Gold, who will take a pitch low. Mazzucato's fastball, upper 80s, low 90s, kind of depending on the day. Early in the season, I think you can expect it to be more low 80s at this point, but that should ramp up. 1-0, skied in the air, right field corner. Going towards the line, Jared Dickey now behind the bullpen. He'll make the catch in front of the wall, and that ends the inning. A long foul ball winds up out number three, and Frank Mazzucato has his first scoreless inning of 2024. To the top of two we go, 0-0 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
So far, so good for Frank Mazzucato. The Bandits lefty posts a scoreless bottom of the first. And with the score 0-0, Trevor Werner leads off the second for Quad Cities, making his season debut at both first base and in the cleanup spot, as the first pitch is strike one out of the hand of Colin Fields. Normally, Brett Squires mans the right corner infield spot and hits cleanup, but he's receiving his first day off of the year today. Well deserved. Fields with the 0-1 to Werner. The slider missed way outside. It's 1-1. Trevor, in 8 games this year, batting 161 for Quad Cities. A couple of doubles, a couple of ribbies, and also a team-high 16 strikeouts. 1-1 selection. It's a fastball just off the plate outside. A nice take from number 22. Werner leads off, then Dickey and Hernandez do up to face Fields, who surrendered 2 base runners in the first inning, but both Nivens and Johnson were caught stealing second. 2-1. Popped him up. Shallow right field. The sun might make this tough. Anderson going out. Now the right fielder Campos comes in. And with the sunglasses, he has no trouble squeezing that for the first out. Well, fly balls have been quite the adventure this week here at LMCU Ballpark. A few days ago, we had wind consistently sitting at 20 and 30 miles per hour with 50 mile per hour gusts. Today it should be much easier. Here's Jared Dickey. He'll take ball one. Dickey hit his first home run of the season and his first home run as a professional on Tuesday against Colin Fields. The only run he gave up. 1-0. Fastball inside, 2 balls and no strikes. Fields bursting onto the scene in 2021, his junior season of Valparaiso. Made a big first impression when he became just the 8th player in program history to complete a no-hitter and the first in 29 years. Sticky takes a called strike. Here in the professional ranks, really solid numbers for Fields, albeit with a sample size of just 53 innings. 2-1. Fastball taken for a strike at the knees. 2-2 on Dickey. He bats 238 this season. Fields made his pro debut last year in the Florida Complex League, but spent most of the year in the Florida State League. 2-2, shot foul over the Bandits' bullpen, out of play. He was really good with the Flying Tigers of Lakeland, a 3.38 ERA in 14 appearances, 8 of those starts. 51 strikeouts to 17 walks in 45 and a third innings. Another 2-2 to the Bandits' right fielder. Ground ball down the right field line, but foul, touched up by Gold behind the bag. And the count holds. Once again, Bandits have a substitute coaching first base. It's Brent Squires who will have the duties today as assistant hitting coach Chris Corbett remains away from the team. Fields again with the 2-2. Papa. Near home plate, the catcher Crouch throws the mask aside. Now sprinting behind home, he can't make the catch. He lunges onto the White Caps logo, but comes up empty. I said the wind wasn't going to be too much of a factor today, but the wind most certainly pushed that one back towards the netting. Crouch a complete spin, and then a sprint towards the first base dugout, but he never had a shot. Good at bat here from Dickey. 6th pitch upcoming in the AB. 2-2 again. High and away. 3 balls and 2 strikes. It was actually the 7th pitch of the at bat. Infield for the Whitecaps shifted towards right field. Another pull shift for left-handed Bandits batter. 3-2. Hit the opposite way, shallow towards left field. Shortstop Graham, third baseman Cerretti going out, and Cerretti tries to make a diving catch near the Bandits' bullpen, but he can't grab it. It's going to be a 10-pitch plate appearance for Jared Dickey at the very least. He's gotten a lot of pitches low and outside. And when we've seen Dickey put good swings on the ball this season, more often than not, it's been something on the lower inside corner that he can turn on. That's the kind of pitch he saw when he hit the home run against Fields on Tuesday. So you can understand why Colin is hesitant to work into Dickey today. But he may have to at some point. Fresh baseball in the hand of the Whitecaps right-hander. Scoreless game in the top of the second inning. One out, bases empty. 10th pitch of the at-bat on its way. Foul ball held on to by Crouch. Strike three. Foul tip strikeout to retire Dickey. Two gone in the top of the second inning. A valiant battle from Jarrett. Colin Fields who gets the win. So now the catcher, right-handed hitter Omar Hernandez to the plate. Omar, 22 years old from La Habana, Cuba, in his first season in High A. First bench, big curveball, low and outside, ball one. Fourth game of the year for Hernandez. He picked up his first High A hit in game two of the doubleheader yesterday. Already some action in the West Michigan bullpen. 1-0. Fastball high, 2-0. Looks like it's Carlos Pena who is starting to get loose. The Midwest League ERA champion from last year. Back with the Whitecaps, at least for the moment. 2-0. Fouled over the screen, out of play. 2-1. Pena was the originally scheduled starter for the Whitecaps, as was the case for Shane Panzini in Quad Cities, but both teams adjusting their starter last night and or this morning. 2-1. Line drive, right field, Campos to his left, reaches out and makes the catch to end the inning. Nice swing from Omar, but it's a 3-up, 3-down frame from Colin Fields. Bandits down in order in their half of the second. Scoreless through an inning and a half here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Three up, three down go the Bandits in their half of the second. Now it's the Whitecaps' turn against Frank Mazzucato. Bandits starter making his 2024 debut today as Quad Cities looks to win this six-game series. Roberto Campos leads it off. The Whitecaps' right fielder will take the first pitch outside for ball one. Quad Cities 5-3 in a three-way tie for first place in the Midwest League West Division. 1-0, sent well to right center field, slicing away from Nivens, deep into the alley he runs, and makes the catch on the warning track. Spencer Nivens making his season debut in center field, and he does his best Carson Rockerford impression, sprinting all the way over onto the warning track, but now Nivens coming up limp. He's clutching the back of his left leg. Nivens may have pulled something with the long run to right center field, and now the Bandits manager, Brooks Conrad, and the head athletic trainer, Evan Dominguez, on his way out there. That was a really great catch from Nivens. I'd love to see the route numbers on that one. But as soon as he threw it in, Nivens reached for the back of his left leg, and that just looks like classic hamstring material, not to speculate. Oh, yeah, looking at the replay, definitely hobbling a little bit right as he made the catch. Quad Cities has four outfielders on the roster, three in the lineup today. Remember, Carson Rockefort, the usual leadoff man and center fielder, was getting a day off here in the season finale, or I beg your pardon, the series finale. Dominguez and Conrad both out there. Evans trying to stretch out his leg. Brooks has pulled out the lineup card, and I think he's going to pull the plug on Nivens. So hopefully this is just a precautionary move. But Spence is going to turn back towards the outfield gate and walk back to what is a temporary clubhouse situation beyond center field. Brooks Conrad pointing into the dugout, and let's see how he moves things around. I wonder if he's going to keep Rockefort on the bench. Sure enough, he is. He is pointing Gene Ramirez to center field. Davis Nadal is going to go to left field. Looks like Trevor Werner's going to go back to third. And my guess is Brett Squires will go to first. So this is quite the change. This is one of the benefits to having a guy like Davis Nadal on your team. As I talked about during the broadcast yesterday, he's a guy that can play all over the field, normally an infielder. But in his first couple of games as a bandit this season, he had played exclusively the outfield. Today, he was finally getting to start at third base, and after just a couple of innings, not even a couple of innings, he shifts back into left. So again, those changes. Out of the game, Spencer Nivens, the starting center fielder. Left fielder Gene Ramirez to center. Third baseman Davis Nadal to left field. Trevor Werner from first base to third base. And off the bench into the game, Brett Squires at first. Well, if you're keeping your scorebook with a pen, I hope you have some whiteout. If you've got your pencil, get that eraser ready. So some shifting about for Quad Cities. Frank Mazzucato ready to work once again with Isaac Pacheco now in the box. First pitch cut on and missed for strike one. The good news for Nivens is that the Bandits are off tomorrow. So he'll get a day to rest and hopefully be back in the lineup for the series opener against Peoria on Tuesday. 0-1 breaking ball fouled over the left side. Out of play over the Bandits bullpen. Nothing and two on Pacheco. With the lefty Mazzucato getting the start, there are very few lefties in the lineup for West Michigan, a team that doesn't have a lot of left-handed bats in general. But today it's just Mendoza and this guy at the dish, Pacheco, in terms of purely left-handed swingers. The man on deck, Danny Ceretti, is a switch hitter. 0-2. Just outside with a breaking ball. 1-2. Wind starting to pick up a little bit here at LMCU Ballpark, blowing in from center field, as indicated by the big American flag. 1-2. Jammed him. It's pulled foul just behind the first base dugout. Pacheco playing in his seventh game for the Whitecaps this year, batting just 136. He had a quiet day yesterday for the most part, as Mazzucato gets him swinging on the changeup. That pitch down in the dirt for Frankie's first strikeout of the season. And there are two gone. Really good pitch for Mazzucato. Again, learning to throw that changeup coming out of high school. He had the curveball, he had the fastball, but building up Mazzucato's arsenal, a big part of his development. So here's the aforementioned Ceretti. The third baseman will bat right-handed, and he takes one of those big curveballs for a called strike. Again, more 12-6 movement with that pitch for Frank. Radar gun-wise, about upper 70s. 0-1. Another called strike. That's on the inner half, nothing in two. So Mazzucato despite the pause in the action. Working confidently and comfortably. Looking for back-to-back strikeouts in a clean second inning. 0-2 to Cerretti. Fastball below the knees. One ball, two strikes. Danny had an RBI double to bring in the only run of the game for West Michigan in game one of the doubleheader yesterday, but 0-3 in game two. 1-2 pitch, another buried fastball. Two balls, two strikes. Carlos Pena has stopped throwing in the first base bullpen for West Michigan, but he was tossing earlier in the frame, so we'll see if he eventually enters today. 2-2. Slider got him swinging, strike three. Well, there's the new slide piece from Frank Mazzucato. He gets Danny Cerretti and has himself a 1-2-3 second inning. Really nice frame from Frank Mazzucato, and we'll have the bottom third of the order due up in the top of the third. Scoreless game on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Sure enough, Carlos Pena will enter the ball game today. The left-hander takes over after a brief start from Colin Fields. Scoreless game in the top of the third as Dustin Dickerson will swing at the first pitch from Pena. Grounded to short. The throw to first is high off the glove of gold. Dickerson turns for second base. The throw from Crouch backing up is not in time. Dustin Dickerson with an aggressive play, swinging at the first pitch and winding up at second base after an error. It's going to be a straight-up E6 on Peyton Graham. That is the Whitecaps' fourth error of the season, and the second on Graham. So a man already in scoring position for Gene Ramirez, who is the starting left fielder today, now in center after the injury to Spencer Nivens. First pitch, left on left. Gene tries to bunt it, and he almost nutmegged himself, fouling it away to the right side. Strike one. Third season with West Michigan for Carlos Pena, but he only made four appearances for the Whitecaps in 2022. As I mentioned earlier, he was the ERA champ in the Midwest League last year. A 3.11 ERA in 110 innings. 0-1. Gene squares to bunt again, but pulls back. It's a called strike, though, on the outside edge. Nothing at two. Third game of the year for Gene. Got the start in right field and hit ninth in game one of the doubleheader. Went 1-for-2 with a single and a walk. Pena sets, fires. Gene squares. He gets it down. Off for third Dickerson. He'll get there. Pena double clutches on the pickup, and his throw to first is late. Ramirez is safe, and now it's men at the corners for Quad Cities with still nobody out. Pena picked up a bunt that was hit right back at him. But he had some difficulty getting it out of his glove. And the throw to first, not in time to get Ramirez, who is an above-average base runner. So now an RBI spot for Davis Nadal. Left on left. The bench. Swing and a miss, strike one. It's going to be another error on the Whitecaps, and a sack bunt successful for Ramirez. Just like that, another error on West Michigan. Nadal trying to take advantage. 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Back pick to third. Oh my goodness, that was close. Dickerson back standing up. The throw from Crouch almost hit Dickerson on the back. Soretti somehow able to make that catch. Nadal in his first season in High A, his first season in the Royals farm system. Comes over having previously spent a few seasons in the Pittsburgh organization. Last two seasons were in Single A Bradenton. They pick off Ramirez at first base. He's caught in a pickle. Throw goes to the shortstop, Graham, who chases Ramirez back. Now to goal, chasing Ramirez to second. A look back towards Dickerson at third. There's no throw, and everybody is safe. Ramirez collides with somebody on the second base bag. Dickerson could not advance home, but Ramirez is safe. Luke Gould chases Ramirez to second base, tried to look to third to get Dickerson, who was starting to venture towards the plate. Dickerson slammed on the brakes, dove back to third, and Ramirez took the opportunity to dive into second. This has been quite a bizarre inning, but somehow the River Bandits have ended up with runners at second and third with nobody out. It's going to go in the books as a stolen base, because why wouldn't it? First bag of the year for Ramirez is a funky one. So now the infield in for West Michigan, the 0-2, has popped over the screen out of play. Yeah, there's no other way to score that. That is just a stolen base for Gene Ramirez. If there was an out, it would have been a pickoff and a caught stealing. But the box score oversimplifies this one. That's okay. Davis Nadal battling 0-2. Scoreless game in the top of the third inning, which has started out quite bizarrely. Only fitting for the series finale. Pena sets at the chest. Catcher sets up away. Fastball just outside. Nice two-strike pitch, but a better take from Davis Nadal. Davis 0-2 with a walk yesterday. He swings at the 1-2 and pops it up out of play behind home. It's going to land just in front of me. Situational hitting. Once again, we're talking about that with Quad Cities. Although the Bandits have won three in a row, they went just 4-for-24 with runners in scoring position in the doubleheader yesterday. That's a 166 average. On the year, they're batting 148 with runners in scoring position. That's the worst mark in the league. Pena tries again, 1-2. High drive, deep right field. Going back, Campos, still going back at the warning track, and this lands at the base of the wall. Dickerson can walk home. Ramirez around third. He'll score. It's a two-run triple for Davis Nadal. His first hit as a River Bandit gives Quad Cities a 2-0 lead, and it nearly left the yard. He got a fastball middle in. Pena missed his location big time. And Nadal dropped it in front of the YMCA sign in right center field. So forget the sack fly. Nadal gets both of them. Quad Cities takes the first lead of the game. The fourth straight contest. Now here's Brett Squires getting his first at bat of the day. And he swings over top of a breaking ball for strike one. Another triple for the River Bandits. They lead the league in that category. That's already their fifth of the season. A one. Swing and a miss. Good slide piece. It's 0-2. Well, if you're just tuning into the game, Brett Squires was getting the day off until Spencer Nivens was hurt in center field. The Bandits defense shuffled around, and Squires wound up back at first base, batting leadoff. 0-2, chopped on the ground to first, gloved by Gold on a hop. He'll take it to the bag for the out and watch Nadal back to third base. Three unassisted to get Squires. And that'll bring up Justin Johnson. Quad Cities on top. 2-0 in the top of the third inning. Two runs on two hits. West Michigan has helped him out with a couple of errors. Hena's pitch to Johnson. High fly, right center field. This one playable, pretty well struck. Going back, Campos. He'll make the catch in front of the warning track. That's plenty deep enough to score the run. Trotting in Nadal. It's 3-0 Quad Cities on a J.J. Zach fly. Well, there is the situational hitting the Bandits have been looking for. They manufacture three runs beautifully. They're gifted the opportunity with the West Michigan Airs. Nadal plates two with a triple. Now Justin Johnson sends one into the grass for his first RBI of the season. So now two outs and the base is clear for Carter Jensen, who's usually the guy you want up in those RBI spots, but he'll try to start a two-out rally. He takes strike one. Pena ready to rock again. He deals. Slider on the lower inside corner, a call and strike two. Pena, 25 years old, 5'11", 160 pounds, from Hato Mayor in the Dominican Republic. 0-2 pitch to Jensen. Swing and a miss. Got him on a slider. That'll do it for the Bandits in the third. They get the job done, though. A three spot on a two-run triple from Davis Nadal and a sack fly from Justin Johnson. Bottom of three up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Third inning for the Quad Cities River Bandits has given Frank Mazzucato a nice little cushion to work with as he continues his season debut. Peyton Graham, the shortstop, leads it off for West Michigan. He'll take inside for ball one. 8-9-1 due up. Three right-handed hitters for the Caps. 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. A huge hack from Graham. It's 1-1. It was his error that allowed Dustin Dickerson to reach that sparked the Bandits' rally in the top of the inning. 1-1. Fastball way too high. Two balls and one strike. Bandits get three runs on just one hit in that inning. Here's the pitch. Change up, low and in. Three balls, one strike. Graham's off to a rough start this year. 1-for-16 at the plate, but he has mixed in three walks. The pitch. A bit inside, perhaps low. Ball four. Second walk of the game issued by Mazzucato. That ends a string of four in a row retired after Frank K'd the last two guys he faced in the second inning. Still no hits allowed by Frankie. And that brings up the right-handed hitting catcher, Josh Crouch. Squires holds the man at first base. Mazzucato with a couple of looks that way. Now he deals. Breaking ball missed outside, 1-0. That was the curveball. Big swing for the Bandits in that last half inning, courtesy of Davies Nadal, who picked up his first hit, his first extra base hit, and his first ribbies as a member of the Royals organization. 1-0, slapped foul over the right side. Justin Johnson also helping clean things up with a one-out sack fly to deep right field to allow Nadal to score himself. 1-1. Pushed foul over the right side. One ball, two strikes. For those listening out there, curious what the radar gun is showing for Mazzucato right now. I unfortunately don't have those numbers to share with you, but of course we'll keep tabs on those throughout the season. I know there's lots of people interested in where Mazzucato's at as he looks to continue to develop and build up his strength. We've seen him top out around 94 over the last year, but towards the end of last season he was more an upper 80s, low 90s guy. A throw to first, off for second goes Graham. Squires throws to short and the ball hits Graham. He is safe at second base. The ball basically vanished for a moment. I was waiting for Dickerson to make the catch and apply a tag, but it went off of Graham. And there was no tag to be had. It looked like it hit him right on the helmet. Looks to be okay. So I believe that's going to be a stolen base for Graham. It would be his first of the year. Man in scoring position for the Whitecaps. 1-2 count on Josh Crouch. Mazzucato deals. Got him swinging on a big curveball. That thing was buried near the back foot. Third K of the ball game for Mazzucato. That was probably his biggest thus far. Really nice looking curveball. Super high spin rate on that pitch. Of course, that's one of the big terms these days. Guys always trying to find a way to throw harder and make the ball rotate more. Seth Stevenson, the leadoff guy at the plate. He shows bunt, but pulls back, and the pitch is low for ball one. Indeed, a stolen base for Graham. That's fourth stolen base against Omar Hernandez, the catcher. But again, he didn't have anything to do with that play. It was a pick to first base. Graham took off first movement and wound up reaching. A look back towards Graham, now the 1-0. In the dirt, blocked by Omar. Two balls, no strikes. Now Mazzucato has not been quite as sharp in this third inning as he was in the first and second. Did get the strikeout, but now it's to the top of the order with a man in scoring position. 3-0 Bandits in the bottom of the third. The lefty peers back towards Graham. Now fires. Here's a one-hopper. Snagged by Werner at third base. The throw to second. They double him off. Werner caught the ball in the air and then doubles off Peyton Graham at second base. That's a 5-4 double play and the end of the inning. Let your defense work for you. Werner starts the game at first base, swings back to his natural third, and makes yet another great play as we've seen him do all series. We're going to the fourth at LMCU Ballpark. It's 3-0 Quad Cities. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Today's series finale headed your way here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Kyle Kirchvill back with you on a beautiful afternoon in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Quad Cities in front, 3-0, searching for their fourth win of the week, which would give themselves their first six-game series win of the season. Trevor Werner leads it off against Carlos Pena. First pitch is fouled back for strike one. Heart of the order due up against the lefty Pena. Werner, Dickey, and Hernandez. Two right-handed hitters sandwiching the lefty. Dickey, a one. Swing and a miss. Slider off the lower inside corner. And it's 0-2. Pena has given up three unearned runs as a result of some slipshod defense by West Michigan in the third inning. Taking his time as he gets the sign from the catcher Crouch. 0-2. Fly ball, foul over the West Michigan bullpen on the right side and hopping into the burn. What a fantastic crowd on hand on this Sunday afternoon. Fans finally able to get out and catch a baseball game without having to throw on their ski boots. Another 0-2. Swing and a miss. Great slider gets Werner on strikes. That's the second strikeout of the game for Pena. One away to start the fourth inning. Colin Fields, the starting pitcher for West Michigan today, but it is more of an opener type appearance as Jared Dickey strides into the left-handed batter's box. First pitch outside, ball one. Fields goes two scoreless innings. One hit allowed, one walk allowed, plus two strikeouts. He's now got six scoreless innings to open his season. 1-0. Slider missed down and away. 2-0. Speaking of scoreless starts to the year, Henry Williams. Terrific for the River Bandits, starting game two of the doubleheader yesterday. 2-0 pitch. Pop foul over the screen. That's going to be right in front of me. If I had a oar or something, I could have reached down and tried to catch that. Back-to-back, scoreless five-inning starts for Henry Williams to open up both his High A career and his River Bandits career. He's the only pitcher in High A with at least nine innings not to allow a run this season. 2-1. Ground ball down the third baseline, rolling towards the corner. Well against the shift, Dickey can run. On his way to second base, he'll get there without a throw as Mendoza throws it in towards Graham. It's a double for Jared Dickey, and Quad Cities gets another man into scoring position. First double of the year for Jared. He goes the opposite way on a fastball right on the outside half of the zone. Well, Dickey saw so many of those pitches early on in his first at-bat of the game in the second. Remember, he went down after a 10-pitch battle against Colin Fields, and Colin was working almost exclusively away from him. Now, second time up, may have learned something. And he makes the adjustment and winds up with a double. Here's a call on strike one to Omar Hernandez. Bandits catcher put a good swing on a ball back in the second inning himself, but flew out to right field. It hung up in the air long enough for Campos to make the squeeze. The pitch from Pena. Ground ball down the third baseline, foul. It's 0-2. Pena seldom found himself in these kinds of situations last year. Like every pitcher does, he had a couple of bad games. But more often than not, Pena was going five or six innings, allowing two runs or less. Here's a ground ball over to short, gloved by Graham. He'll throw to first for the out. If the foot was kept on the bag, it was not. Gold had to stretch down the line, and it's going to be another throwing error on Peyton Graham. Up to third base goes Jared Dickey. Now the defense has just been terrible to start the game for West Michigan. That's already their third error and the second on the shortstop. It's got to be tough on your pitcher. You finally get the ground ball, and you wind up with more traffic than you had previously. Luke Gold did everything he could to keep the foot on the bag, but just too far of a stretch. Here's Dustin Dickerson. He'll cut through the first pitch for strike one. Dickerson reached on the first error of the game for Graham back in the third inning. A throw that forced Gold to leap up in the air, take him off the base. First and third, one out. The pitch. No, a throw to first base. It's low, but knocked down by Gold. Bit of a short hop. Right now, West Michigan's just throwing the ball all over the place. 3-0 Quad Cities in the top of the fourth inning. Dickerson with his red and brown bat held high. He'll dance out of the way of a pitch inside, ball one. Sixth game of the year for Dusty, the former Southern Miss product, batting 133. No extra base hits, two ribbies. And a couple of walks. 1-1. Called strike, inner half of the zone. Dickerson again jumping out of the way, but if he tried to sell it, didn't give a good enough price. Just trying to put something in play here with runners at first and second and one out. Obviously, you'd like to avoid a ground ball. Bench. Check swing. Did he go? He did not. Field umpire Ian Durkin on the appeal says that Dickerson did not swing. Kind of an awkward hack, or near hack, I should say, for Dickerson, who lifted his back foot up. Sure enough, he did hold up. That's a great take. It's like his right foot went forward while his hands didn't. Not sure how he pulled that off. 2-2. High and away, and a leaping catch by the catcher, Crouch. Now it's a full count. Dickerson taking advantage of the extra life. He's worked to three balls, two strikes. Nice shot here for a potential third RBI. Good speed at third base at Dickey. Hernandez still at first. The payoff. Swing and a miss. Got him chasing a slider in the dirt. Two down. That's a pitcher who has confidence in his stuff. Whether or not that pitch was intended to be as out of the zone as it was. That was not even close in a two-strike situation. Pena got the wave and a miss he was searching for. So runners still at the corners, but two outs. Pena goes left on left against Gene Ramirez, as Dickerson strikes out. Off for second on the first pitch goes Hernandez, and he'll get there without a throw. Second stolen base in the last 2 days for the Quad Cities catcher. As we talked about quite a bit this week, Hernandez likes to run. Had 26 stolen bases for Columbia last year. 1-0 to Gene. Breaking ball, missed inside, perhaps up, 2-0. Ramirez tried to lay down a sack bunt to move Dickerson up in the third inning. He wound up on base after the second error of the inning, a throwing error on Pena. Eventually came in to score on the Nadal triple. 2-0. That's high, 3-0. Davies waits on deck for Quad Cities. And Brett Squires, the leadoff man, in the hole. Brett Squires, a in-game sub after Spencer Nivens was pulled earlier in the game. 3-0 to Gene. Fastball up and away, another walk. Second walk of the game for West Michigan. first allowed by Carlos Pena. So now they're all loaded up, and Dan Rickaball will use this opportunity for a mound visit. For the first time this week, not sporting his shiny varsity-esque jacket that you may have seen in the early to mid-90s. He's got just a standard hoodie on today. Maybe this one a little bit lighter than that other jacket with the warm temperatures upon us this afternoon. Let's check in for the first time today with the rest of the Midwest League. Almost everybody has at least started to play today. Peoria and Beloit should get going here any moment, but already some games pretty far along, including the one up the road in Lansing. The Great Lakes Loons have one hit, the Lugnuts, so far. It's 9-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning at Jackson Field. Going into the seventh inning, Lake County leads Fort Wayne 6-2. Captains looking for their fifth win of the year. In Cedar Rapids, the Dragons and Colonels are wrapping up their series. The Colonels have just one run on one hit, but they're tied with the Dragons at one in the top of the fifth. South Bend, the Timber Rattlers and the Cubs both scored four runs in the first inning. It's 4-4 in the bottom of the third. Set to resume action after the mound visit, Davis Nadal back in the box. The bat's still warm after the two RBI triple an inning ago. Pena deals. First pitch missed up, ball one. For what Davis doesn't have in power, he makes up for in speed. He's still able to get you 15, 20 extra base hits a year because he's so fast. 1-0 is a called strike on the lower outside corner. But his triple in the third inning, nearly a homer to one of the deeper areas of the ballpark. It's left on left as well. Bases full of bandits, two outs, 1-1. Curveball left inside. Last year, for single-A Bradenton, Nadal had 15 doubles, two triples, and eight home runs, despite hitting just 212. He also mixed in 33 stolen bases. That's how you turn singles into extra base hits, so to speak. Hitters count, 2-1. Fastball up and away, 3-1. Activity in the West Michigan bullpen. Number 20, Max Alba, is beginning to toss with Carlos Pena now over 40 pitches. Three-one pitch. Wave and a miss. Nadal chased out of the zone. Got a bit too aggressive there, and the count goes full. So with the bases loaded, all three River Bandits will be on the move here on this next pitch. Base hit could really blow this game open in Quad City's favor. Pena trying to complete his second inning of work. The payoff. Ripped foul towards the bullpen. Look out down there, Whitecaps relievers. Normally those guys kind of play a game of chicken where they sit there and wait for the ball to get closer and closer and closer without moving. That time, they had to move, or they were going to hang out with Justin Wagler, the Whitecaps trainer. Nadal extends the at-bat, seventh pitch of the at-bat upcoming. 3-2 again. Called strike three on the outer edge. And that's a big strikeout for Carlos Pena. The Bandits still do not have a hit with the bases loaded this year. They leave them loaded in their half of the fourth, but they're still in front, 3-0. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Bandidos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Bandits had a chance to extend their 3-0 lead in the fourth, but Carlos Pena strands the bags full of bandits. And Frank Mazzucato goes back to work, set to face 2-3-4 in the white caps order. First pitch to Carlos Mendoza is a fastball for strike one. Mendoza, a bouncer to second in the first as he squares to bunt. Did he offer? No, he didn't. He pulls back on a pitch outside. That was the curveball. 1-1. Mazzucato has given the Bandits 3 scoreless, hitless innings in his high A debut. He has walked 2. He's got 3 Ks. 1-1 curveball. Low and outside, 2-1. Now, one of the big markers, if you will, for Mazzucato last year, this pitch is outside, 3-1, was that collision he had with fellow Firefly teammate Brendan McNair on June 2nd, which kind of forced Mazzucato's season downhill as Frank throws one in the dirt, ball 4. Back-to-back innings with a leadoff walk allowed. Third free pass of the game for Mazzucato. Remember, he was putting up terrific numbers with the Fireflies, but then during a batting practice collision, which gave Mazzucato multiple facial fractures and a swollen eye, his season got kind of derailed as Max Anderson takes outside for ball 1. He returned to action after about a couple of weeks and shortly thereafter was promoted to Quad Cities, but Frank just never really got back into a rhythm. He had lost some weight in the hospital and just never really found the magic he had in Columbia to start the year. I mentioned in the pregame show and early on in the broadcast that Mazzucato had a really good month of August for Quad Cities, saying 2.95 ERA and 4 starts. But as a whole, his time with the River Bandits was tough. His first full month with the team in July, he posted an ERA just under 12 with a whip over 2. 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. Good breaking ball from Frank. 1-1. But there's lots of hope and, of course, lots of potential for Mazzucato to be able to find what he had earlier in his career, if you will, albeit just a couple of seasons. 1-1. Ground ball foul down the left field line. And I think it's worth noting, Frank, just 20 years old. He won't turn 21 until the middle of June. You forget how young these guys like Shane Panzini, Frank Mazzucato, Ben Kuderna are. Some of the Royals' top young arms, still just very young in both their career and their development. 1-2. In the dirt, low and inside. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Back pick to first. Mendoza safe. Nice tag, though, from Squires and a cheeky throw by Hernandez. There is some activity in the River Bandits bullpen now. Lefty Parker Harm has begun to toss with Mazzucato's pitch count over 40. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him with a changeup in the dirt. Fourth strikeout for Mazzucato. All 4 Ks have been of the swinging variety. We've seen him bury a slider. We've seen him bury the changeup. He's displayed his full arsenal today. One out, a man at first for Luke Gold, the right-handed hitting first baseman. He'll take a first pitch slider low and in, ball 1. Of course, Mazzucato, as we get further along in the year, he'll be able to work into the 70s, 80s, maybe even the 90s in terms of total pitches. But for his first start of the year, no reason to push it. 1-0. Pound foul on the right side, out of play. Good to see Frank, though, back with the team. Hartford, Connecticut native. Just a really friendly guy. Constant smiling face in the River Bandits clubhouse, and it's those guys that you remember throughout the course of the year. 1-1. Line drive through the left side of base hit. It skips past Dickerson towards Davies Nadal, who throws it back in after the one-out single. So Luke Gold picks up a hit, just his third of the season. Yep, Mazzucato left a slider right down the middle. Cleanup guy for the Whitecaps did miss it. That's now four straight games, though, for the River Bandits, where they've held the Whitecaps without a hit to the first third of the ball game. Goes to show how impressive the starting staff has been in this series. I mean, truly one of the best in minor league baseball over the last five games. First and second, one out for Roberto Campos. First pitch. Call and strike right down the middle, nothing in one. Campos, a fly ball to center field back in the second inning. On the year, batting 208 for the Whitecaps. He's played now in eight of their nine games. Frank deals. Slow roller towards second. Johnson gloves, applies the tag, throws to first, and gets the double play. Justin Johnson, 4-3 twin killing to end the inning. Frank Mazzucato's got four scoreless innings in his return to the mound. Thought for a moment that Johnson was going to take Squire's head off with an absolute missile to first base, but no problem for Brett, and the inning is over. 3-0 Quad Cities. We're going to the fifth on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Frank Mazzucato gives up his first hit of the game in the bottom of the fourth inning, but once again, the defense is there to back him up. Justin Johnson puts together a 4-3 double play to end the inning and give Mazzucato his fourth straight scoreless inning to start the year. Top of the fifth underway, Brett Squires, the substitute leadoff man, if you will, for Quad Cities today. Just took ball one from Carlos Pena. Second pitch, also out of the zone, in the dirt for ball two. Top third of the order to hit, Squires, Johnson, Jensen. Spencer Nivens injured himself on one of the first plays of the game. Making a catch in right center field. Really nice catch, but came up a bit limp and was replaced. 2-0. High and away, three balls, no strikes. Max Alba has stopped throwing in the Whitecaps bullpen. Carlos Pena closing in on the half-century mark in terms of pitch count. 3-0 to Squires. Fastball taken for a strike. Brett's off to a very solid start this season. He's slugging below 300, just a double for his first extra base hit in the doubleheader yesterday. But his on-base percentage at .429, as that number will go up. He takes a pitch low for ball four, and Squires reaches in his second plate appearance. He was getting the day off before the injury, now back at first where we've seen him so often this year. There is activity, though, in the Riverbands bullpen, and it's today's scheduled starter, Shane Panzini, who's getting loose. Runner at first, nobody out for Justin Johnson. Throw to first, back standing up Squires. It's been a really good start to the season for JJ, this week especially. He's playing in his fifth game for Quad Cities. He's 4 for his first 11, with a double, a triple, and 3 walks, plus some great plays in the field. Another throw to first, and Squires in standing up. Already 2 picks in that direction without a toss to Johnson. And at second baseman, off to a great start today. A single in the first, a sac fly to play to run in the third. First pitch to him, outside ball one. The only negative on the game for Johnson was he was caught trying to steal second in the first inning. The second bandit nabbed trying to pilfer a bag. 1-0. Held off Johnson's foot. Ball and one strike. Johnson, 24 years old, 5'11", 190 pounds. 10th round pick by the Royals last year out of Wake Forest. Former Demon Deacon. Second River Bandit in the Royals affiliation era from Wake Forest. 1-1. That's low, 2-1. The other, Will Fleming, spent parts of the last 2 seasons with Quad Cities, now in AA Northwest Arkansas, actually in AAA Omaha. Remember, he made his Storm Chasers debut last week and dazzled. 2-1. Wave and a miss. Great breaking ball from Pena. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Speaking of the Royals AAA affiliate, they just started their game against Gwinnett over in Papillion. Storm Chasers off to a really good start this year. They are right at the top of the International League at 9-5. Michael Massey continuing his rehab with the Storm Chasers at the plate right now. 2-2 to Johnson. Swing and a miss. Chased below the knees for strike 3. That is the 5th strikeout for Carlos Pena. Doesn't look super comfortable out there, but he's been able to pick up the K's regardless. Pena has not had any help from his defense, so that's made things a bit tougher for him than they probably should be. A man at first base, 1 out for Carter Jensen. First pitch to him, cut through for strike 1. Chased a slider low and away. The start to this game, very much unlike what we've seen from Jensen throughout the series. He's got a pair of K's next to his name, 0 for 2. His first 2 at-bats today. But he had reached base in 10 of his last 13 plate appearances entering the ballgame. Now he takes a called strike on the lower outside corner, 0-2. Bandits ahead, 3-0 in the top of the 5th inning. Looking for their 4th win in a row and a series win today. Pena's 0-2. Slider just low. Crouch tried to frame it, but 1-2. Squires has 3 stolen bases this year to tie him to the team lead, but he's also been caught stealing 3 times. Hasn't tried to run yet. Throw to first. Back with a dive he goes. That's the 3rd time that Pena has thrown in Squires' direction this afternoon. One, two. Slider low and away. Could not get him to chase. As far as the other affiliates go, AA Northwest Arkansas is wrapping up its series with San Antonio. Gavin Cross and Peyton Wilson, a couple of former Bandits, having a good week in Texas. They're tied at 1 in the top of the 5th inning. 2-2. No, another throw to first, and it gets by Gold back towards the dugout. Up to second goes Squires. He'll stop there on what is the 4th error of the game for the West Michigan Whitecaps. Second on Pena. And when it rains, it pours. That's the risk you run, throwing over so many times. Brooks Conrad now out of the third base coach's box to talk with Ian Durkin. What about? I'm not sure. Did he think that Squires was impeded by Luke Gold in some way? think Squires would have had a shot at third base. The only thing I think he's arguing is that... I don't even know. Looking at the replay, I'm not sure what the argument is. But either way, things worked out well for Quad Cities. That takes away your conventional double play threat. Man at second with one out. Jensen trying to battle. 2-2. Down on strikes again. That time, slider from Pena gets up in the kitchen of Jensen. Six Ks for the lefty. And there are two outs in the top of the fifth inning. Really nice pitch from Pena. Wow. Again, pitching like a guy who has some serious confidence in his stuff. He's worked all over with two strikes. And even when he's been in full count situations, he hasn't been afraid to tempt guys to chase. Here's Werner. First pitch, called strike one. The Single-A affiliate, the Columbia Fireflies, who, like the Bandits, are 5-3 to open the year. They'll wrap up their series with the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, starting at 4:05 Central Time. That should wrap up right around when we're wrapping up. A one. Line drive back up the middle of base hit. Around third goes Squires. He will score without a throw. It's a two-out RBI single for Trevor Werner. Third ribby of the season for Werner. And the Bandits are finally starting to get some of those hits with runners in scoring position. This one comes with two outs. Pena tried to go up and in with the heat, but Werner's hands were quicker than the pitch. And the inning will extend down to the five-hole hitter, Jared Dickey. First pitch to him is inside, ball one. Trevor Werner's got a little bit of that Juan Carlos Negrete in him. When he hits the baseball, it always seems to be traveling at triple digits. 1-0. Inside again. That one a slider that didn't slide. 2-0. Shane Panzini has stopped throwing for Quad Cities. Doesn't even have a glove on right now. Tough to tell what his plan's going to be. Frank Mazzucato's given the Bandits four scoreless innings, but again, they don't want to push him too hard in his season debut. 2-0 to Dickey's outside. Three balls, no strikes. Earlier in the game, I was mentioning the walks for West Michigan. They had 11 in the doubleheader yesterday. 3-0. Inside, ball four. So Jared Dickey will take his base. That is his third walk of the season. And the fourth walk allowed by Whitecaps pitching. Will push Werner into scoring position. Runners at first and second with two outs for Omar Hernandez as time is called. And the catcher Crouch is going to slowly make his way out to the hill, almost like he's trying to give Max Alba some time to start getting loose again, and that's exactly what's going to happen. Max was throwing earlier in this inning, but after Pena got the strike out of Jensen, he could sit down because there were two outs and Pena just needed one more to close out his day. But Juan Cities is keeping him out there just a little while longer. He's pitched 2 2/3 innings, needing 66 pitches. Pitcher and batter ready to go. First pitch to Omar Hernandez goes soaring in the air, shallow center field. Second baseman Anderson uses his bare hand to shield his eyes from the sun, and he makes the catch and end the inning. So Quad Cities does strand a couple of guys, but they get a big two-out RBI single from Trevor Werner. It's 4-0 Quad Cities, halfway through the series finale on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the The River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Shane Panzini will pitch the bottom of the fifth inning for Quad Cities. The right-hander relieves Frank Mazzucato after a very solid season debut. Panzini facing Isaac Pacheco, his 1-0 pitch. Also up and away, two balls, no strikes. Mazzucato goes four scoreless, one hit, three walks, and four strikeouts, 2-0. Outside, no, that's a strike on the outer edge, 2-1. For Panzini. This is his second outing of the season and his second outing of the series. 2-1. Off the hands, fouled off the facade on the left side again with Gavin Manns in the suites. Shane was the only River Bandit starter to really struggle this week. He got the ball in the opener on Tuesday. Was able to work through just two-thirds the first inning. Gave up three runs on three hits with two walks. Through 36 pitches. So he'll come out as more or less a piggyback starter for Mazzucato today. 2-2. Check swing. He went around. Strike three. Great start for Panzini, who automatically gets fired up out there. He gets one out. He just lights on fire. Just powerfully walks around the mound, steps right back on the hill. Gotta think that one felt good after what we were just talking about Tuesday. Here's Danny Cerretti. He'll swing at the first pitch and line it into left field, a base hit. He'll take a big turn at first base, but Nadal fires it in towards Dickerson. It's a one-out single for the switch hitter. Fourth hit of the year for Cerretti. Panzini tried to go fastball at the knees. Bit too center cut though. So one out, one man on for the eight-hole hitter, Peyton Graham. Peyton, a walk and a stolen base back in the third inning. He'll swing away and come up empty on strike one. He's had a really rough game at shortstop, to say the least. He's committed two errors in this game alone. And he's got three errors on the season. Whitecaps as a team have four errors in the game, and it's really helped out the Bandits. 0-1. Popped up, shallow right center field, long run Ramirez, and it's Jared Dickey who comes over into the alley and puts it away for the second out. Nice bounce back from Panzini. Gives up the hit, and now goes to face Josh Crouch, a runner at first, two away. It'll be interesting to see if Shane goes back into the rotation next week, giving the Bandits effectively six starters, or if he'll serve in this piggyback role that Ryan Ramsey kind of has. First pitch to Crouch, tapped foul to the left side. Smith, make that Ramsey. Didn't have too much of an opportunity to piggyback on Henry Williams' five-inning start in game two of the doubleheader yesterday. But Ramsey did go two scoreless innings and pick up five strikeouts for the Bandits' first save of the year. 0-1. Another dribbler towards the Bandits' dugout off the hand of Brooks Conrad. Ramsey, though, threw 22 pitches to complete those two innings. Two of them were a ball. One of the most dominating outings of the week for Quad Cities, and that's saying something, given the way the team has posted a 1.41 ERA over the last four games. 0-2, off goes the runner. The pitch is dribbled weakly in front of the plate. It's a foul ball. It caught a piece of Crouch. Just a reminder, the River Bandits are back home next week. They'll begin their first six-game homestand of the year. Welcome in the Cardinals affiliate, the Peoria Chiefs, who, of course, are a Western Division opponent who gets to play Quad Cities quite frequently. Throw to first, back standing up, Danny Ceretti. Most notable thing about next week is a free admission day. Next Sunday, a week from today, you can watch your Bandits for free at Modern Woodman Park. Throw over to first, they picked him off! Shane Panzini is the first Bandits pitcher to pick off a base runner this season. He nabs Ceretti too far from the bag. A perfect throw, a great tag from Squires, and once again, the Bandits have pitched themselves a scoreless inning. To the sixth we go, 4-0 Quad Cities.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Quad Cities has looked really good here in Game 6 of their series. They lead West Michigan 4-0 and are ready to start up the sixth inning. First batter for the Bandits, Dustin Dickerson. He will welcome to the game Max Alba, the right-hander, who does in fact enter. First pitch to Dusty, a bit low. Second toss on its way. The slider dropped in for strike one. Final line for Carlos Pena, three innings, four unearned runs on three hits, three walks, and six strikeouts. Interesting line for him. Swing and a miss from Dickerson on a fastball. It's 1-2. Third inning, make that the third outing of the year for Alba, his second of the week. He's yet to give up a run in 2 1/3 innings this year. 1-2, fouled off the sweeps on the right side. Shane Panzini just threw a scoreless inning for Quad Cities. Gave up a one-out single to Danny Ceretti, but two batters later picked him off of first to face the minimum. 1-2, a slap roller over to second base. It's under the glove of Anderson. It's going to be another error for West Michigan. That's one of the Tigers' top prospects out there who just had it skip right underneath his glove. Dickerson got a slider hitting low and away from him. He got the barrel to it and hit it pretty hard, but that's a play that has to be made. And that is four straight innings with an error for West Michigan. Second time Dickerson reached on an error. Here's Gene Ramirez. He'll take strike one. I don't know if I've ever seen a five-error performance before. Ramirez with a sack bunt and a walk to his credit today. Now he tries to bunt again and pops it up. That's going to be caught by Luke Gold, the first baseman. And Ramirez is out. Now we saw Ramirez get away with one of those earlier this week. He had a bunt single that he essentially lined in front of the second baseman. This time he doesn't get away with it. So one out recorded for the tall right-hander. Max Alba, 6'6", 215 pounds, 24 years old, out of Franklin, Wisconsin. He'll face the nine-hole hitter, Davis Nadal, right on left. Third baseman, Cerretti, still playing in as Nadal gets the feet out of the way. On a pitch inside, 0-1. Davis, a two-run triple to open up the scoring in the third. That was his first hit of the season. He then struck out with the bases loaded his last time up in the fourth. 1-0 pitch. He squares to bunt, but pulls back on a called strike. And it's 1-1. Down at this part of the order, Quad Cities has several guys that can bunt, both Gene and Nadal. Will not hesitate to throw one out there. Throw to first base. Back with a dive goes Dickerson. 4-0 Quad Cities in the top of the sixth inning. They've scored runs in a number of different ways today. They've pitched well. They've played good defense. West Michigan struggling as the 1-1 is a called strike on the outer edge, 1-2. They committed one error in game two of the doubleheader yesterday. Now have five today. But when you're walking a lot of batters and committing a lot of errors, it's tough to win games. But you got to give credit to the River Bandits pitching staff, which has been absolutely phenomenal this week. 1-2 to Davies. Wave and a miss. Elevated heat. Picks up Alba's first strikeout of the game. Two down. So two outs and a man at first for the top of the order, Brett Squires. Brett 0-for-1. With a walk and a run scored today. Started the afternoon on the bench, but had to come in later after an injury to Spencer Nivens, the original leadoff man. Squires swings through a slider for strike one. Alba, a non-drafted free agent signed by the Tigers back in 2022. Finished up his college career at Liberty, then pitched a little bit for the West Virginia Black Bears in the MLB Draft League before being signed. Pitch to Squires, popped up foul out of play. Made his pro debut in the Florida Complex League last year, but spent the vast majority of the season with Single-A Lakeland. Made 41 appearances out of the Flying Tigers bullpen. Posted a 4.07 ERA with seven saves. 0-2 to Squires, fouled into the screen. In the home half of the sixth inning, Whitecaps will have the nine-hitter Crouch, and then it's back to the top of the order. 0-2 to Squires. Breaking ball, low and outside, 1-2. Justin Johnson, second baseman, waiting on deck. Quad Cities has done a great job with men on and two outs today. The pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. More off speed from Alba, and he's got himself a second strikeout. So that'll finish the Bandits half of the sixth inning. They strain a man at first after the Whitecaps' fifth error of the ball game. Back to the hill, Shane Panzini, bottom of the sixth next. It's 4-0 Quad Cities.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodmen Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodmen Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Set to begin the bottom of the sixth inning here at LMCU Ballpark. Josh Crouch to lead it off against Shane Panzini. First pitch fastball rides high for ball one. 9-1-2 due up for the Whitecaps. Crouch, the catcher, 0-1 with a strikeout today. Second pitch from Panzos, fouled to the screen. 1-1. As I mentioned, Panzini originally scheduled to get the start today, but Frank Mazzucato was thrown in last minute last night. He looked great. 1-1, swing and a miss. Awesome slider from Panzini. It's 1-2. Shane, like Mazzucato, a high school standout. He started Red Bank Catholic High School in New Jersey before being drafted by the Royals. 1-2 pitch. Hit him. That just got a piece of Josh Crouch. A little fastball came in on him and just must have skipped across the front of his pants. Hernandez caught the ball and hit him so weakly. Let's take a look at the replay. Oh, wow. I mean, that just skimmed the elbow pad. But hit by pitch nonetheless. Seth Stevenson now at the plate. He's going to ground one to the right side. Diving for it, Johnson. He can't get there. Crouch will stop at second, and it's a single for Seth Stevenson. Anytime you see a ball hit that direction, you think Justin Johnson's going to get to it. It's just how he's looked for the Bandits so far. Boy, he did everything he could. A complete full extension headfirst dive. He could knock it down. Now the Whitecaps have two runners on for just the second time in the ballgame. First and second, nobody out. Carlos Mendoza up. This game's still far from over. Bandits have been in control of it for sure, but tying run is in the on-deck circle for West Michigan. It's 4-0 Quad Cities. Left-handed bat of Carlos Mendoza now coming up. 0-1 with a walk. Panzini's first pitch bunted back to Panzo. He picks it up, throws to third, and gets the out. Shane Panzini with a nice athletic play to take Crouch off the base paths. Stevenson moves to second and Mendoza to first on the fielder's choice. That was a fastball inside on Mendoza. Very similar to the popped up bunt that Justin Johnson had earlier in the series where he was more or less spinning out of the way. The bat stayed in play, the ball popped off it. This one rolled right back to Panzini, who scooped it up, did a 180, and threw a strike to Werner at third base. First and second, one out for Max Anderson. He's first pitch swinging and comes up empty on the off speed. Strike one. Really good play from Panzini. That is so much harder than it looks. So rarely does a pitcher have to make a play to his right. A one. Wave and a miss again. A slider down and away that gets Anderson chasing well off the plate. And it's nothing at two. Max is going to ask for time to try to sort things out. Two nasty, nasty pitches from Shane Panzini. What does he go to here? Two breaking balls low and away. Hernandez sets up at the knees, the pitch. He goes breaking ball in the dirt again. It scatters away for a second, but Omar gets there, and nobody moves up. One ball, two strikes. Bandits have four runs on four hits and no errors today. The Whitecaps, no runs on three hits and five errors. They've committed at least one in each of the last four innings. Panzo ready again. The 1-2 pitch. Ground ball to short, gloved by Dickerson to Johnson for one. On to first, not caught by Squires. The runner is safe, stopping at third base, Stevenson. Throw from Johnson was low and in the dirt. Brett did everything he can to scoop it out. But it's going to be another fielder's choice. Of course, no error. You can never assume double play. But it will mean that Panzini has to face Luke Gold, the cleanup batter. Runners at first and third with two outs. Gold, one of the three Whitecaps hits today, or with one of the hits. Back pick to first. Knocked down by Squires, nearly into right field. Bad throw from Hernandez. If it was an accurate one, they may have had Anderson. He had moved off the bag pretty far with a secondary lead, but that throw from Hernandez was a good 3 or 4 feet off target. Squires had to lunge towards second to knock it down. Panzini back with ball in hand, 1-0. Chopped foul behind Tony Cappuccelli in the third base coach's box. Panzini's dealt with some traffic through his first inning and two-thirds. A couple of hits, a couple of fielder's choices, hit batsman. But he's done a pretty good job managing it to this point. A really good job. Nobody's scored. Trying to keep this shutout intact for Quad Cities. Whitecaps have not scored a run since game one of the doubleheader yesterday in the fourth inning. That was 16 innings ago. 1-2 to goal. Cut on and miss. Strike three. Fastball upstairs. Gets Panzini his second strikeout. And sure enough, the right-hander gets out of the danger. Strands two Whitecaps runners. Keeps them off the board. It keeps the Bandits in front. 4-0. Seventh inning next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Final third of the ball game today here in West Michigan. The Whitecaps trailing the River Bandits 4-0. Quad Cities looking for what would be its second straight shutout win, a series win, and their fourth win in a row. Justin Johnson leads it off against Alba and rips one towards left field, but it hangs up in the air long enough for Mendoza to make the catch as a loud and quick out number one. Another good swing from Justin. He's had a good game today, both offensively and defensively, but no cigar there. So up comes Carter Jensen, who, interestingly enough, has had the worst game of any River Bandits hitter today. 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. First bench. fastball right there for strike one. Seems like any time Quad Cities has scored over the last few games, Jensen had something to do with it, whether he moved somebody up, drove the man in himself, or was the one touching home. Second pitch from Alba, out of the zone, 1-1. Second inning of work for the lengthy right-hander. He fires in. And that slap fell off the sweeps on the left side. Whitecaps have not given up an earned run in the game, but the five errors have cost them this point. 1-2. Ground ball to the right side, knocked down momentarily by Anderson. He's got no play at first. That's going to be a hit for Carter Jensen. And he snaps that 0-3. That was almost a great play from Anderson, who committed one of those five errors in the last inning. Alba kind of got away with one there. He left a curveball up. Jensen may have opened the shoulder a bit too much and topped that ball towards the right side, but with all the top spin, it made it a tough squeeze for Anderson, who couldn't secure it. It went off of his glove, and Jensen was safe. Trevor Werner takes strike one. He's responsible for the last Bandits run with an RBI single in the fifth. It was his third RBI of the young campaign. Jensen held on by Gold. The breaking ball missed inside. 1-1. Carter Jensen now with a 9-game on base streak. He and Brett Squires have reached a 9 straight. 1-1 fouled off the catcher Crouch. Great way to open the season. Carson Rockeford owns the longest hit streak for a Bandit this year, but he had the streak snapped yesterday. He had hits in each of his first 6 games to begin his high A career. But Jensen and Squires have all now played in every game and reached in every game. 1-2. Called strike 3. A fastball on the outer edge. Not sure what Werner was looking for there. Briefly exchanges some words with Alex Shears, but mostly words of confirmation as opposed to argument. Third strikeout for Alba, second out in the top of the 7th. Runner at first base for the left-handed bat of Jared Dickey. First pitch. Breaking ball in the dirt. 1-0. Still sunny skies here in West Michigan. Temperatures upper 60s, lower 70s. Big crowd on hand for the series finale. The berm on the right side is completely packed as Dickey launches a ball towards left field, but the wind's going to help knock this one down, and it's caught by Mendoza to end the inning. Nothing for Quad Cities in the 7th. It's the first errorless frame by West Michigan since the 2nd. 4-0 Quad Cities. Time to stretch here on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Great to have you alongside in the broadcast booth. Kyle Kirchwa with you for the bottom of the 7th here at LMCU Ballpark. Bandits still in front, by a score of 4-0. They have kept the Whitecaps off the board over the course of the last two games, and not scored since game one of the doubleheader yesterday. Shane Panzini, one of the reasons why. Bandits reliever goes back to work to face Roberto Campos, and he gets him chasing a slider high for strike one. Campos, Pacheco, Cerretti due up. Panzini out of the windup. A one pitch again. A swing and a miss from Campos. This time he chases the fastball high. Nothing and two. Max Alba just completed another inning of work for the Whitecaps. He's gone two scoreless with three strikeouts. But West Michigan does have a right-hander up in its bullpen. 0-2 pitch near the eyes of Campos, who leans out of the way. Off the glove of Hernandez, back to the backstop. Campos 0-2, a fly ball to center in the second inning. That was the play that Nivens got hurt on. And then a 4-3 double play in the fourth, the pitch. Low and outside with a changeup, 2-2. Shane Panzini putting together his second appearance of the week. This one much better than his start on Tuesday. Nice to see him turn things around before a fresh series next week. 2-2 slider. Got him looking. Strike three on the lower inside corner. Beautiful pitch from Shane Panzini. Tucks it on the lower inside square of the zone. And he set that one up perfectly. A lot of pitches up near the eyes and then down and in. Nice sequence there from Omar Hernandez and probably Brooks Conrad. So here's Isaac Pacheco taking strike one. Isaac the DH. And a rare left-handed bat in the order for Tony Cappuccelli today. 0-1, high in the air, well struck, left center. On the move, Ramirez still going back into the alley. He'll make the catch in front of the track for a loud out number two. That's one of the better swings in the game for West Michigan, but that wind is blowing just enough in from left field to knock those sorts of balls down. Under different circumstances, that may have been extra bases, but today, it's the second out in the bottom of the seventh. Base is empty for Danny Cerretti, who's played in both spots on the left side of the infield this week. He's over at third base today. First pitch breaking ball, well struck, left field, slicing behind the Bandits bullpen. It's going to get out of play, and Nadal plays the rebound and throws it towards the QC relievers. Panzini so far, 2 2/3 innings. Two hits, no walks, three strikeouts. He's been all over the zone. 32 pitches, just seven balls. 0-1. Soft looper to the left side. Trevor Werner, the third baseman, heads towards the edge of the dirt and makes the catch to end the inning. 1-2-3 go the Whitecaps in their half of the seventh. Shane Panzini has got three scoreless innings. We go to the eighth, still 4-0 good guys on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Florida State Seminole out there to pinch for the West Michigan Whitecaps. It's the right-hander Jack Anderson, who is the third reliever out of the bullpen for Tony Cappicelli today. Top of the eighth inning underway. Omar Hernandez leads it off for the Bandits. He takes strike one. 4-0 Quad Cities in the series finale. Bandits can hold on for two more innings. They've got four straight wins. 0-1. Foul ball into the glove of Crouch. 0-2. Second appearance of the season and of the series for Anderson. We saw him toe the rubber on Tuesday. I beg your pardon, on Wednesday for the Whitecaps. He threw a scoreless inning of relief, working around one hit. 0-2. Chop on the ground to third. High hop for Ceretti. He fields near the bag, throws sidearm to first, and beats Hernandez by a step. One away. Shane Panzini has retired six in a row out of the Quad Cities bullpen. Just put together a very nice 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh inning, including his third strikeout. Nobody warming up in the pen for him, so he's got a chance to match the starter Frank Mazzucato's four scoreless innings. One out, base is clear for Dickerson. He'll offer it the first pitch and sky it towards the right field side. Ranging over is Campos, but it's out of play into that picnic area with the bright red umbrellas. Anderson, 24 years old, a native of Tampa, Florida. He's got a nice bushy red beard. Standing at 6'3", 205 pounds. He's now in parts of three seasons with West Michigan. 0-1, line drive, left center field, a base hit. Dustin Dickerson with the same kind of swing he put on the ball in the sixth inning. Just kind of reaches out and gets enough of the barrel on it to land it into the outfield. Dickerson's been aboard in three of his four plate appearances, but that's the first one he's going to get credit for. The other two times were because of errors. Third baseman in, that's Ceretti. 1 foot on the dirt, 1 foot on the grass, with Gene Ramirez up. And he'll hack a first pitch breaking ball, coming up empty for strike one. Both teams getting a little more aggressive here in the later innings, perhaps ready to call it a week. Bandits head back to Davenport this evening. Anderson, a throw to first. Back with a dive, Dickerson. Bandits should get home not too late tonight. Plus, you get the hour back, switching back into the central time zone. 0-1. Popped up off the end of the stick. Left side of the infield, the third baseman Ceretti hauls it in for the out. Two down. As I mentioned, the Bandits will be playing the Peoria Chiefs for their first six-game homestand of the season next week. Of course, we invite you to come out to Modern Woman Park for which should be a really fun series. Obviously, it's always cool to see the Cardinals affiliate. But in terms of the promotional schedule, lots of good stuff going on, including the first $2 Tuesday of the year, brought to you by Pepsi of Davenport. Pick over to first, back with a dive, Dickerson. Tomorrow you can take advantage of $2 GA tickets, $2 sodas, and $2 hot dogs presented by Pepsi of Davenport. The game will also include the first pennant giveaway of the year. First pitch to Dave Easton-Dahl is strike one. On Wednesday, it's a Keystone Light Wednesday and a Copa Wednesday at the ballpark. Los Benditos del Rio de los Ciudades Cuadrupeles will take the mound for the first time, or take the field, I should say. Check swing on the 0-1 to Nadal. It's a swinging strike, 0-2. Back-to-back strikeouts for Nadal since his two-run triple in the third inning, which gave the Bandits its first runs of the game. Of course, part of Copa Wednesday will feature the Bandits in those specialty jerseys. You can also stop by Rascal's Den, the team's official team store, to grab some new merch. Nadal down on strikes. He chases a fastball high, and that is the end of the inning. Solid frame for Jack Anderson. He gives up the single to Dickerson, but strands in there with a pop-up and a strikeout. We're going to the bottom of the eighth. Quad City still in front, 4-0. We'll finish up a look ahead to the promo schedule when we come back. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits.
it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Quad Cities is looking for six more outs en route to their first six-game series win of the year. They lead West Michigan here at LMCU Ballpark 4-0. Bottom of the eighth underway momentarily. Shane Panzini back out there for a fourth frame of action, ready to face Peyton Graham for the second time. Right on right, the white-capped shortstop takes high and away for ball one. Shane Panzini relieving Frank Mazzucato, who threw four scoreless innings in his season debut. 1-0. Called strike, lower outside corner. My guess is Panzini will pitch this inning, and then Brooks Conrad will turn to a reliever for the bottom of the ninth. 1-1. Check swing and a breaking ball. He clearly went around. It's 1-2. And it's really have saved the bullpen this week. They've got plenty of guys available thanks to their efficiency yesterday. 1-2. Fly ball straightaway center. Ramirez shielding his eyes, now charging in. He'll make the catch. One away. Yesterday, Quad Cities used just three relievers in 15 innings of baseball thanks to five-inning starts for both Steven Zoback and Henry Williams. They got a scoreless frame from Chase Wallace, two scoreless frames from Brandon Johnson, who pitched the seventh and the eighth innings and gave one of that extra inning win. And then Ryan Ramsey ate up the final two innings in game two. Josh Crouch takes a pitch in the dirt, ball one. Catcher and nine-hole hitter for the Whitecaps is 0-for-1 with a hit by pitch today. Pitch from Panzini. Low and outside, two balls, no strikes. Continuing our way through the upcoming promotional schedule for Quad Cities, we just finished off Copa Winston, 2-0. Swing, miss, Crouch, huge hat, came up empty, 2-1. On Thursday, Busch Light brings you $2 domestic draft beers. It's also our first pint glass giveaway of the year, courtesy of Planet 93.9, and the first Bark in the Park of the season. Bark in the Park now on Thursdays at Modern Woodman Park. Bring your four-legged furry friend. 2-1. Fly ball right field. Pushing towards foul ground. This will get out of play behind the bullpen. And bounce up onto the berm for a nice little souvenir. On Friday, there'll be post-game fireworks, as always, sponsored by Smart Toyota. So stick around and kick off your weekend with some pyrotechnics. Then on Saturday, second premium giveaway of the year will be a beanie, courtesy of Planet 93.9. 2-2, rolled foul down the left field line. Crouch keeps the at-bat going. It's a nice, colorful, light blue beanie with a white River Bandits logo on it. A nice change of pace from your traditional giveaway hats that you'll see. They're usually just black or gray. This has got some really good pop on it. 2-2. Another ground ball foul behind the coach's box. And Crouch continues to battle. Then on Sunday, of course, it's a big day. There are five things that you can look forward to, none the least of which is free admission. Another foul ball, 2-2. Crouch takes a fastball back to the screen. Pansini working him low and away and then elevating the eye level. Crouch seems to have a response for everything. Eighth pitch of the at-bat upcoming. Out of the line, 2-2 again. Yanked foul right in front of Tony Cappuccelli. It's going to be a 10-pitch battle. See what Pansini goes to here. The pitch. Challenge me fastball ripped right center field. It drops. Dickey to the ball quickly, rounding. First is Crouch, and he's going to get into second base with a double. Third came in a bit late. Dickey did a good job getting to the ball quickly. Pansini tried to go low 90s, top of the zone. Just trying to get Crouch to miss one, but he turns a phenomenal 9-pitch at-bat into the Whitecaps' first hit since this guy, Seth Stevenson, singled back in the sixth inning. First extra base hit in the ball game for West Michigan. First on the season for Crouch. That's just his second hit altogether. So a man at second, one away for the center fielder. Right on right, Pansini delivers. Fastball hit him. And Pansini pointing home saying, where did that get him? Did he lean into it? The second time a Whitecap has worn a baseball off the elbow pad, and now someone is shouting from that third base dugout. That might be, who is that? Is that Ryan Powers? I'm not sure. Second hit batsman in the game for Quad Cities. They hadn't plunked anyone prior to the game today. First and second, one out for Carlos Mendoza. Tying run in the on-deck circle. Pansini's pitch lined in the right field. That's a base hit. Crouch got a bad jump, so he'll stop at third. Throw comes in from right, and the bases are loaded. All righty now. Whitecaps aren't going to go away that easily here in the finale. Now the crowd has got something to cheer about. Tying run at the plate. Max Anderson, he is the highest-rated prospect on this team at number 17 in the Tiger system. And before Pansini goes back to work, Derek Lewis, the pitching coach, is going to top things over with the battery and the infield. Just to finish things up on the promotional schedule, free admission sponsored by Palmer Chiropractic Clinics gets you into the ballpark. Then once you're there, get some pregame player autographs courtesy of the Quad City Times. Get yourself some sunglasses courtesy of Primetime Apparel. And of course, stay after the game for Kids Run the Bases, brought to you by Airgas. So you can get in for free, you can get some autographs, Kids Can Run the Bases, you'll get some sunglasses. There's no reason not to be at the ballpark this Sunday afternoon. We hope to see you there for a 1 o'clock first pitch. Now to this Sunday afternoon. Bandits up 4-0 in the bottom of the eighth inning, but West Michigan has rallied as well as they have in the last two games. Bases juiced, one out. Max Anderson at the plate. Shan Pansini's first pitch to him is a changeup in the dirt for ball one. Quad Cities has gotten a right-hander up in the bullpen. It's number 31, Ben Sears. Last saw him pitch on Wednesday. 1-0. Breaking ball inside, 2-0. Gotta wonder if Pansini's just getting a little tired out there. Threw just 32 pitches on Tuesday. He's at 50 pitches today. 2-0. Fouls into the screen. Decent cut from Anderson. Max opened up the series 500 on the year. Still had a pretty good week, but the Bandits have held him in check. The season, the average now 444, a double and a homer. Hitters count, 2-1. Foul ball pushed over the right side. Mancini's fastball, too much for Anderson to handle right there, and it's 2-2. Quad Cities is only turned three double plays this year. Make that four double plays. Two of them have come in this game. 2-2 pitch. Popped up. Right side foul ground. Brett Squires towards the warning track in front of the bullpen. Reaches out and can't make the catch. It's going to land for a foul ball. Hopefully Squires is okay. He ran into the wall down there, which is padded, but his hand may have gotten jammed in between his body and the fence. But judging by his walk back, he looks okay. Nice effort from Squires, but Shane Panzini is going to have to find another way to get this out. He's got a new baseball and a new sign from Hernandez. Another 2-2. Low and outside, count goes full. Base is juice, nowhere to put Anderson. Leaves. I think that is second on the team in walks for West Michigan. He's got four through seven games. Panzini's pitch. Ground ball back up the middle. That's going to score at least one. Crouch score. Stevenson's in. On his way to third, Mendoza. And it's an RBI single for Max Anderson. Whitecaps are on the board and now just trailing by two. Not a bad pitch from Panzini. That was on the lower outside corner. Anderson just stuck the bat out and squeezed it past Dickerson. So Anderson now with a team high, 9 hits on the year, 5 ribbies. And this rally's still going. It's over to Luke Gould. First and third, one out. Pitch from Panzini, low and away on the breaking ball. Really got to just tip your cap to Anderson there. That was a terrific at-bat. 1-0. Foul ball over the screen, out of play. Ben Sears still warming up for Quad Cities. Bruce Conrad wants Panzini to find his way out of the inning. Shane closing in on 60 tosses today. Right-handers 1-1. The slider missed low and outside. 2-1. Gold has one of the 6 hits in the game for the Whitecaps. 1-for-3 with a single back in the fourth inning, but he was part of that double play to end the fourth inning. 2-1. Fastball high. 3 balls in 1 strike. Gold represents the go-ahead run. Roberto Campos, the 5-hole hitter on deck. 3-1. Walked it. Too high, ball 4. So that will load the bases again. And let's see if Brooks Conrad makes a move. Roberto Campos steps in. Brooks Conrad says, nope, you got this. So he's going to let the young right-hander, 22-year-old Shane Panzini, try to get out of this jam. First pitch, right on right. Fouled into the screen, strike 1. Billy Panzini, even though he's given up 5 straight base runners in the eighth inning, he's not pitched all that poorly. Obviously, the hit batsmen and the walk weren't great, but the at-bats that turned into hits, he pitched okay. 0-1, high, back pick to first! Yes, they got him! Luke Gould is picked off of first base. What a massive out number 2. Tony Cappuccelli furious, arguing with Ian Durkin behind the mound. What a play from Omar Hernandez. A throw from his knees to first base. Brett Squires puts the tag down, and they catch Gould by surprise for a gigantic second out. Cappuccelli still not happy, voicing his displeasure. As animated as we've seen him this week, Ian Durkin's letting him get his peace. See how much longer it lasts. Tony is right in the face of the field umpire. Now he's been tossed. Well, that's kind of what happens on a Sunday. Get a close play like that. lets it all hang out. He's got nothing to lose anymore. Home plate umpire Alex Shears on his way out. He's going to tell Tony to head for the showers. And he will get a standing ovation from this LMCU ballpark crowd. That's the first catcher pickoff of the year for Quad Cities. We saw them do that a number of times last year, especially Jack Anderson. He was terrific at that. Jack Alexander, I beg your pardon. Jack Anderson, the reliever on the hill for West Michigan in the last inning. So they're going to send a new man out to coach third base. It's Francisco Contreras, the hitting coach. He will now take the lineup card from the Whitecaps skipper. Shane Panzini with a couple of warm-up tosses to stay loose. So two outs, runners at second and third. And Roberto Campos in the box. Panzini ready to work once more. 1-1. High drive left field. Back Nadal to the fence. He spins around and makes the catch. Davis Nadal was running out of real estate real quickly. But he makes the catch on the warning track on what looked like a go-ahead shot. Instead, the Bandits lead 4-2, and they will take that going to the ninth. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
The bottom of the eighth inning gets a little bit dicey for the River Bandits, but they remain in front 4-2. Brett Squires leading it off to start the top of the ninth, taking strike one from Jack Anderson. West Michigan reliever still out there. 0-1 pitch. Squires turns to bunt, takes one in the dirt. That one hit about 4 feet in front of home plate. Crouch nabs it up. Squires 0 for 2 with a walk and a run scored today. Left-handed batter hits one high in the air. Well struck right field. Campos just turns around and watches it sail over the deck for a massive solo homer. Brett Squires got all of that one. His first Quad Cities dinger leaves the ballpark. Goodness gracious. He started the day on the bench. Comes in as a substitute for an injury and pulls that off. So Quad Cities gets one of those runs right on back as Justin Johnson takes a called strike. Shane Panzini had 5 straight guys reached against him in the bottom of the eighth as Justin Johnson comes up empty on that swing. Max Anderson put together a terrific at-bat with the bases loaded. He drove in a couple of runs with a poke up the middle. Then he walked Luke Gold. big pickoff from the catcher Omar Hernandez got the second out, and then Roberto Campos sent one to the very edges of the confines, but he made the catch to get Panzini out of trouble. As Justin Johnson's down on strikes, Anderson gets him with a fastball. Second K for Anderson, and there's one away. But the first batter in the inning for QC gets it right back, at least one of them. And that's just kind of how this week's been going. Here's Carter Jensen. He'll take outside for ball one. Nice to see Brett Squires starting to showcase some of that pop that we saw so much of in Columbia. 1-0 pitch. Line drive, snag. Second baseman Anderson right there. Good swing from Carter, but his second hit of the day eludes him. Two down. Saw Squires start out his season with nothing but singles. He was doing a great job reaching base, but he picked up his first extra base knock with a double during the doubleheader, and now the solo shot today. Two outs, base is clear for Trevor Werner. He'll swing through a slider for strike one. For Jack Anderson, he allowed 8 homers in just over 54 innings last year. This was his first allowed this summer. He drops in a slider in the zone to Werner, and he watches this one go by, 0-2. Ben Sears still warming up in the bullpen for Quad Cities. He almost assuredly will get the bottom of the ninth, which is coming right up. A swing and a miss from Werner. 3 straight sliders out of the hand of Jack Anderson. And that will most likely do it for Quad Cities offensively this week. At least they hope. Ben Sears coming on looking for the Bandits' second straight save and the Bandits' 4th straight win. They're trying to wrap up this series before heading back to Davenport this afternoon. 5-2 River Bandits. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Welcome back to LMCU Ballpark. The Quad Cities River Bandits in front 5-2, looking for 3 more outs in the home half of the ninth. Right-hander Ben Sears comes on for the 3rd time this season, trying to lock down his first save of 2024. First pitch slider to Isaac Pacheco is inside for ball one. 6, 7, and 8 due up for the Whitecaps, who trail 5-2. Bench. Fly ball, straightaway center. Ramirez got a bad jump. Now adjusting, he backpedals towards the track and makes the catch. Pacheco now 0-for-4 today. And that's a quick first down for Sears, who's looking for a little bit of redemption after the game on Wednesday. Bandits took a no-hitter into the ninth inning. Squires came on to pitch, and he gave up a hit immediately to Jose Cibrian. Only knock of the game for the Whitecaps charged to Sears, who pitched a complete inning and pitched well, but just happened to be the wrong guy at the wrong time, as Danny Ceretti takes strike one. It's the only run given up in two outings this year for Sears. 23-year-old from Providence, Rhode Island. Has a couple of strikeouts in there as well. A one. Outside, 1-1. In the top of the ninth, Brett Squires hit his first home run of the year. A titanic shot over the deck in right field. Probably hit the roof and rolled towards the parking lot near Carson Rockefeller's from earlier this week. As Ceretti puts a charge into one, but well fell towards the renovations on the left side. 1-2. For Ben Sears, picked up 9 saves in 31 outings with Single-A Columbia last year, oftentimes closing out games. After Ryan Ramsey got a save in game 2 of the doubleheader yesterday, he'll try to make it 2 straight games for the Bandits with a save. 1-2, fastball blown by him, strike 3. West Michigan is down to its final out. Quad City's going for a 4-game win streak to wrap up this series. They lost on Tuesday and Wednesday in games that, if you ask anyone in that clubhouse, they'll tell you the Bandits should have won. Bandits had a lead in each of those games at least once, but couldn't hold on. As Peyton Graham grounds one to short, easy play for Dickerson. He throws to first, and the ball game is over. Make it 4 straight victories for the Quad Cities River Bandits. They've got their first 6-game series win of the year, and they stand atop the Midwest League Western Division. Final score, LMCU Ballpark, Quad Cities 5, West Michigan 2. Your River Bandits postgame show is up next on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
For the final time today and for the final time this week, welcome back to LMCU Ballpark in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the Quad Cities River Bandits win their 4th straight game, their 6th overall this season, and pick up their first 6-game series victory of 2024. The final 5-2 Another great pitching performance from the River Bandits, started out by Frank Mazzucato, who in his season debut goes four scoreless with four strikeouts. Shane Panzini, more or less the piggyback starter, threw in four frames of his own, gave up just a couple of runs in the eighth inning, but otherwise looked really solid, rebounding after a rough start on Tuesday. And then Ben Sears came on for the bottom of the ninth. He needed just seven pitches to pick up a strikeout, a perfect frame, and his first save as a member of the River Bandits. Here's the final line score for you. Quad Cities, five runs on seven hits, no errors. 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They strand eight men on base. For the Whitecaps, two runs, six hits, and five errors. 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They strand six. As a result of the five errors, West Michigan only gave up one earned run. That was the solo homer from Brett Squires in the ninth inning. Otherwise, all four runs scored against Carlos Pena in the third and fifth innings were unearned. Pena gets the loss, though. He threw three innings, had six strikeouts, but again, the errors plus three hits and three walks, his undoing. The starter, Colin Fields, threw two scoreless for the Whitecaps to more or less match Mazzucato, at least through the couple of frames, but again, the defense for the Tigers affiliate eventually letting the arms down. Offensively, no River Bandit had a multi-hit effort, but the biggest swing of the ball game was the two-run triple from Davis Nadal. That broke open the scoring in the third inning. It gave the Bandits a 2-0 lead and Nadal's first hit as a member of the Royals organization. The Bandits tacked on an insurance run in the fifth inning with an RBI single from Trevor Werner, his only hit of the ball game. And then the aforementioned solo shot from Brett Squires, his second extra base hit of the series and his first homer to give the Bandits their fifth run. And that would be enough to get the 5-2 victory. We're going to wrap up the post-game show a little bit early today. We will quickly breeze through some updates from around the Midwest League as some games are starting to go final. The Cedar Rapids Colonels pick up their fourth win of the year. They beat Dayton 4-2. In Fort Wayne, the Tin Caps battle all the way back from being down six runs. They were trailing 7-2 going into the bottom of the seventh inning, but they win 8-7 for their fourth victory of the year. In Lansing, the Great Lakes Loons get a big win over the Lugnuts. Final score 12-4 at Jackson Field. The South Bend Cubs wrapping up their series against Wisconsin at Four Winds Field this week. The Cubs currently behind the Rattlers 9-5 in the top of the eighth. And in Peoria, the Chiefs are giving up a five spot to Beloit right now in the top of the fifth inning. Chiefs were up 4-1 before this frame, but now the Skycarp on top 6-4. The Bandits will see Peoria at Modern Woodman Park next week. Game one of the six-game series in Davenport at 6:30. We'll have your pregame show at 6:20 here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. And, of course, we invite you out for the first $2 Tuesday of the season. Come get $2 general admission tickets, $2 hot dogs, and $2 sodas to start what should be a really fun series at Modern Woodman Park. Looking forward to talking to you on Bally Live and MILB TV, and of course at riverbandits.com next week. But that'll wrap it up for our broadcast this series here at LMCU Ballpark. The Bandits won their last series here back in 2019. They took 2 out of 3 games at Fifth Third Field is what it was called at the time. But now the Bandits, a win at LMCU Ballpark. They take 4 out of 6 against the Tigers High A affiliate. All four wins consecutive to close out the series. That'll do it for today. Wherever you listened, so thank you so much for tuning in. Always a pleasure to have you along with us. My name's Kyle Kirchival. Hope to see you in Davenport next Tuesday for a six-game series with the Peoria Chiefs. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your weekend. So long and good night from Grand Rapids.